today's pasuk, pasuk Gimel, when we said Gam Yitedim, we discuss Shegiyos. Shegiyos mi Avin min Yisrael Snakeni. We mentioned the Dodo is being spalt Hashem, and Hashem, you should spare me from being making mistakes. It's inevitable that a person will make a mistake. A Shegaga. A Shegeg, a person could do an Avir by accident. David now goes on to say, Hashem, not only do I beg you to spare me from making a mistake by accident, I beg you to spare me from making a mistake b'mezid gami zedim, from doing an aveir against you willfully. How could that possibly be? If David HaMelech of here is being mispalel, sebi from doing an aveir b'shoigig, so it doesn't even entertain the possibility that he would do an Avera b'mezid. The answer is, really, you don't really know. You don't really know yourself. The person never really knows. And just because the person, he thinks he's a tzaddik, and he's asking Hashem, spare me from doing an Avera b'shoigeg, a person can even come to a situation where he does an Avera b'mezid. You need always to be misfalo for protection. Now the word chasoich we had many times, it means to withdraw. Okay, chasoich means to withdraw, it's interesting, the word choshech, darkness, but I don't know what the connection here, but here in this context it means chasoich, withdraw your servant. Next expression, al yim shluvi. Do not let my yetzahara to rule over me, okay? And then it says, oz then a sum. A sum means perfect. Miloshen tam. Then I will be the tam of the Haggadah. Right? In the Haggadah you have the tam. Oz then a sum, I will be perfect. David here is misspelled for four things. A shugaga, nistar, zay mezid, and then yim shulu. To be ruled, okay. There's a procession. The order is a little bit interesting. Okay, maybe we'll see. Vini Casey, and then I'll be cleansed mi pesharof from great transgression. Let's see what it says in the Mitzvahs Pasuk Gedalid here on page 177. Page 177. Gandhi Zaydim. Gan me'aso sara b'mezid, minna oisi v'ameitz levavi lebal asaisam Hashem. I pray to Hashem and prevent me from doing an avera b'mezid. V'ameitz levavi, strengthen my heart lebal asaisam. Al yim shaluvi, return lemar, lo yuchlu lahatos levavi el ho'arevus v'hamesikos sheyesh b'hanois hazedim ho'heim. It's very interesting. Memshala, the way he's David over here, he's using the expression over here, is that do not allow the Yetzara to rule over me by giving me incentives. When an Avera is sweet and pleasant, then it's almost as if the person has no bechira, he has no free will. Ella eskaber ala taiva, Hashem, grant me the strength to overcome the taiva. Oz a son, then I will be perfect. Oz a yeh betamim, I'll be perfect. Ki al hashegiyos techaper, because you will forgive me for the shkagos, umi hazedim tachsoich oisi, you will withhold me from doing averos b'mezid, ki mi pesha, who are married, rebellion, shehu avoin rov, v'godol, mizeh yenokim yatzma, be cleansed, ki bevadai lo yechte b'mered, v'imkein lo yishra b'yodi mu'uma ra, there'll be nothing left, v'eyye tamim, I'll be complete, v'cho oimer hinei me'oid kosha liyos tamim, ki im b'oifin zeh. All right, basically, there's over here basically really three things. When a person goes to mikvah, Erev Yom HaKippurim, how many times is he supposed to dunk in the mikvah? It's a Mishnah Berura. The Mishnah Berura says, on Erev Yom Kippur, when you dunk three times, why? Chet, Shoigeg, Pesha, and Oven. Chet, Pesha, Chet, Ovoin, and Pesha. Chet, Ovoin, and Pesha. What are the difference between the three? It's exactly what it says here in these two psukim. Chet is to atone for the averos that were done by accident. Ovoin are averos that were done b'mezid. And Pesha, averos that were done out of rebellion. Yodea you're there, you know Hashem, and you have intent to do something in spite. Person is angry, he is acting out, and he behaves in a way that is spiteful. So when a person goes to mikvah on Erev Yom Kippur, you dunk three times. There are many reasons why a person goes to mikvah. One, the primary reason going to mikvah is a part of the process, and bizman in today's day, bizman hazeh. It's part of the process of doing teshuvah. There is going to mikvah, women go to mikvah because midaraisa, nida. A woman who's in nida needs to go to mikvah. Bizman shabes hamikdash shayakayim, a person cannot eat teruma, a person cannot eat kachim until they go to mikvah. Bizman hazeh, there is no beis hamikdash, there is no kachim, there is no teruma, so that's not an issue. So why then would a person go to mikvah? Well, if a woman needs to go to mikvah because she's in nida. A man, now there's an issue that bizman hazeh, does a person need to go to mikvah if he's a baal keri? So l'chatchila the answer is yes, but b'di'aved, the world is very lenient, and we do not. I always tell you that Rav Pam held that his yungalite and koilel, they should be nizr going to mikvah if they're a baal keri. If someone is supporting you to sit and learn, if you're being supported to learn, there's a higher standard. If you're learning, you should. Once you're learning already full time and you're not working, you should at least learn a bit tahara, in a state of purity. Stam a person, balabas, you go to work, make a parnasa. You don't have time for this. You don't have to. It's hard. You're very busy. But if a person is toirasai umnasai, you're learning Torah, you should go to mikvah in the state of tahara. Then there's going to mikvah, even if a person is 100% pure, there's only going to mikvah for Tosefes Kedusha, to add to your body an additional degree of purity, even though you're tall. Erev Shabbos, going to mikvah Erev Shabbos, going to mikvah on the Shalosh Regalim, going to mikvah on the day of your wedding, going to mikvah for, you know, different holy events in your life. That's Tosefes Tahara. Is going to mikvah for a Sefer Torah. A person writes a Sefer Torah, he's not allowed to write Hashem's name in a Sefer Torah unless he's Tohar from Keri. So that's how Mamashe, how Locha. What about writing
mikvah before you carry on?
What?
Before you carry on.
Okay, that's another concept. Very good. It's another concept of mikvah. Good morning, Rav Shlomo. That's another concept, right? Well, that's purely Kabbalistic concept. There are people who go to mikvah before they go to a cemetery. Before they go, even though the cemetery is you know, the ultimate tumah, tumas hameis, going to mikvah, there are many dimensions to mikvah. Okay, obviously, going to mikvah before you carry a dead body, I mean, that's aviyah v'satumah, the body is aviyah v'satumah. But there's another dimension of tumah that has nothing to do with the dead. It has to do with just, I don't know what this means, but there's some type of concept of purity, and before you come in contact with a neshama that's hovering over his body, a person should be taught. They say,
you should kiss her for Riyadh, that she has to go to mikvah, right?
That's neither. That's right. An entirely
so what
different.
What happens to the kid? How come the kid never has to go to mikvah?
What do you
the
mean?
The baby that's born.
The baby's born before the bris mila?
No, seriously, the baby's born in neither, so he's tamei, right?
Not necessarily. You're saying the woman is an avatoma, you suggest, therefore the baby should be a rishon l'toma. You're saying something very interesting. If a woman who gives birth is an avatoma, a nida, and a nida who touches truma makes it into a woman who touches a nida that touches another person, she touches another person, she makes him into a rishon. So you're asking the baby automatically, when the baby is born, is a rishon, and we never find anywhere being toivel a baby. But the baby will touch food in the house, they'll make all the whole house come, they'll crawl around and touch all the food. The baby is a rishon. A rishon cannot make kelim tamei, but it can make food tamei. I hear what you're saying. Why, you never heard it in the most Hasidic circles, where before the bris milah, they toivel the baby. You never heard such a thing. You know what it really resembles? Baptism.
Yes, that's what I said.
Baptism. Isn't that very interesting? You would think, Ma doch, Wachnacht, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. The father stays up the whole night learning. All these wild things people do the night before the bris milah, right? There are a lot of wild things people do. You never heard, ever, taking the baby, putting the baby in the mikvah. Never heard. L'chardash should be the first thing to do, right? That has precedent. You never heard such a thing. Why not? Rav Chol is saying maybe it's an avma because you shouldn't chas v'shalom think.
Yeah, but that only came in 1,000 years after.
2,000 years ago. So I don't know the story of Christianity, but Christianity has been around for 2,000 years, 2,022 to be precise. 2,000 years, and I don't know when this Mishigas began. I don't know. I'm sure there's
a guy named John.
John named John? John Kerry?
In the Dead Sea
Scrolls? There's nothing in the Dead Sea Scrolls about baptism. Sorry. That was before Christianity.
Right, but maybe they were very mapped on Tahara.
Okay, so this is a new insight. Never thought about this thing over here. You're talking about going to mikvah. Okay, then there is, a ger must go to mikvah. There's a gzeres hakasav. So mikvah is really quite a broad concept of how many of all the different forms of going to mikvah. And we always mention it's a very important halacha. A person who's about teshuva, okay, people that's choizer b'shuva has an obligation. It's not a nice thing to do. He has a chiyuv to go to mikvah. Today the Baal teshuva movement has unfortunately come upon a very big obstacle.
Rabbi Rakev suggested that the women, when they go anyway to the mikveh, they should take a bezin and have kavana that it's
the geirus.
If a suffix, he did with umrah.
Okay.
About tshuva.
You don't. It is the most insulting thing you can say to a person that you should have geirus l'chumrah. This is a very big issue with Ethiopian Jews, with Russian Jews. Russian Jews, Ethiopian Jews, now Ukrainian Jews. This is, so you tell them they come to Eretz Yisrael and they want a tu'udah, a certificate that they're Jewish, and then they have to go to the Rabbanot, and they have a backlist of probably thousands of people whose yichus is questionable, and they have to launch a major investigation with documents, pictures of matzevos, and interviews. And it's a very, very difficult thing to authenticate the Russians, and now the Russians, that's already old. But the Ethiopians, Russians, and in America, they don't like taking leave from America. Someone comes and says, "I'm a ger from America." Really? Who did the gear? Who's the best? Who are the people? And if they don't know who they are, it becomes a whole big to do. It's a major issue, and. To go tell the person, listen, we don't really know. So you know what? What's the big deal? Do hatofas tambris, be mekabel the mitzvahs, and go into the mikvah luchomra, gerus luchomra. That is a horrible thing to do to a person. It is the ultimate insult.
Yeah.
The ultimate insult. And it has consequences because a person now, who can he marry? He can't marry a kohen. A person who's a ger may not, you're limiting their shidduch prospects. If a person is not married, he's not going to marry a kohen. Okay, you're going to go limit a person's shidduch prospects? That's horrible. You're destroying his yichus, a suffix, a gerus l'chumra. So this is not a good thing. So when Rabbi Kefir was talking about that, I'm not sure I understand the context.
Yeah.
Rabbi Kefir is my Rebbe. I learned from him so much. And there are so many things I wish I didn't never learned. But he's quite a person, and I have the ultimate respect for him. He should be well, be gesund and stark. And okay, I don't know. I don't know, you have to see
there
the context.
There is a mix for babies, for gayers. Let's say someone has a baby.
Not a baby. I don't know what age
no,
they do.
Someone, someone's a
shit. You adopt a child. Someone
wait
adopts.
Till they're 13.
They wait to ask them for Kabbalah San Mitzvah.
So they give the choice to get out of it, but they have to go to the mikvah.
Immediately. Okay. I don't know the problem. I would imagine that it's so. But Rabbi Mochel made a very fascinating point about geirus, about mikvah, is to take a child and put a child in a pool of water. You just could imagine. You just could imagine what's going on in the minds of the Christians. And the people who are today, I mean, today we don't live among the Christians. And we don't.
Why? They're baptized.
Baptism.
They're big on the, you know, like the Jordan River. They're
yeah.
Big on that.
So this is, like today in America, you know, we don't really even think about it so much. But go back a couple hundred years, I mean, what went on, It's unbelievable. Okay, in any event, so the reason why I'm bringing up this point over here is because in this pasuk over here, pasuk Gimel Yudal, this double over here is mentioning that Hashem spared me, he's being misfalo, to be spared from making a mistake, b'shoigeg. And then he uses two terms, b'shigiois and b'nistorois. And then he talks about not doing avera from the zaydin, and he mentions the pesha. Now, all of these words are you know, depending on the context, they are can be interchanged. They're not interchanged. What they mean. But one thing I just want to point out that in this vast spectrum of all the multiple reasons why a person goes to mikvah, there's one that is very relevant today, and that is a baal teshuva, a person that was not observant. He was not shomer Shabbos. And then one day someone tapped him on the shoulder and said, "Would you like to speak to a wise rabbi, a wise man, Rabbi Meir Shuster, Zeichet Tzad Rebacha?" And then all of a sudden, before you turn around, this guy becomes a big Rosh Hashiva. This person must, al pi halacha, go to the mikvah and immerse in the mikvah l'shem teshuva. Ad kedei kach, it could be he's even chayav to make a bracha. A male or a female that was not observant, and this choyze b'shuva is Shulchan Aruch, you must go to the mikvah. I think you really make a bracha, if I'm not mistaken. And it's a lot about the teshuva, they never told us. And they can go, they can become observant and religious, and go for years. Not everyone goes to mikvah Erev Shabbos. It only became a big thing in recent years, because it's very easy to do. But years ago, a Litvak, they wouldn't even cholmzach to go to the mikvah. Go to the mikvah, if you're lucky, you'll go to the mikvah Erev Yom Kippur. But about teshuva, and also you tell about teshuva, to go to mikvah, then what? A public bath, you take off your clothing? Like, what? No way.
There's a response. I just saw it on Rabbeinu Google. The Rabbi Rebbe, when someone wrote, someone who was being the guard said she didn't understand mikvah. She wasn't ready to do it. So she wrote to the Rebbe. So the Rebbe wrote back, a baby is in a mikvah. It's in a womb completely surrounded.
Water.
Comes out, it's a neshama tahira. So it's fine. When you go into mikveh, you're surrounded by water.
Every person to go into mikveh.
So it could be a baby comes out no chait. There's no reason for it to have
The mother, the baby come out, makes contact. It must be spoken about. The baby makes contact with the mother. The moment the baby comes out, it's in contact with the mother on its way out. The mother.
It's not a kli. As such as you can, don't become coming.
If someone wants to speak about this, you're making a good point. I don't know. Well, the mother's not going to touch the baby the second the baby is, even if you're telling me on the way out. But the mother's not going to.
A plain piece of wood, if it's a kli.
No, a person.
It's a kapotuma, but if it's a
human
piece,
being.
A human being. You haven't done anything. The baby doesn't know anything.
There's no such thing. A human being, a baby, is makabotuma. There's no question about it. A baby comes in contact with a dead body, with the sherets. So the mother touches the baby. The mother is an avatoma. She touches the baby. The baby's a rishain. Why should that not be the case? There's no such thing. A baby is not a rock. There's no such halacha that a baby is not mekabel tuma. And yet you never ever heard of taking children to adults and this and that. You never heard about taking children and putting them in. Obviously, it has a lot to do with Christianity because of it should not appear to be baptism. In any event, the reason why I'm saying is over here, there's another, so this is what the halacha, it's relevant when it comes to a baal teshuva, he must go to mikvah, and he makes the bracha. So, and as an extension of that, every single person is a baal teshuva on Erev Yom Kippur. Every person, Yom Kippur is all about doing teshuva. We all are in about teshuva, and therefore, that is why we go to mikvah on Erev Yom Kippur. Ad kedei kach. We live in America. America, the global melting pot, everything is one size fits all. No one makes a bracha today when you go to mikvah on Erev Yom Kippur. But that's not the way it used to be. There were many kihilos beyond the shadow of a doubt when they went to mikvah on Erev Yom Kippur, you made a bracha. You go immerse in the mikvah on Erev Yom Kippur, you make a bracha no different than a Machal Shabbos, whose choyze b'shuvah goes to mikvah, makes a bracha. As an extension of that, the Mishnah Berurah says you go to mikvah and you should dunk in the mikvah 3 times. Why 3 times? Chet, Avoin, and Pesha. Alluding to what it says over here on this page, these two psukim that we learned today, David is asking Hashem, spare me from Shkoga, spare me from
unwitting is better than
unwitting averos. Unwitting averos, spare me from Shkoga, spare me from the Zaydin, and spare me from Pesha. So, okay, the context, each word really needs to be defined. The context obviously refers to three different levels of sin. A sin that's done unwittingly, inadvertently. A sin that's done, I know it's forbidden, but I don't care. But I have no intent to rebel against you, Hashem. I have no intent. I just don't care. And then there is a person, lahachas, he's angry, he's frustrated, and he wants to show Hashem, I don't care what you have to say, lahachas. There are three levels, and every single person has in his neshama each element. Even a person thinks he's a tzaddik and he does nothing wrong. Inside, deep down, in deep subconscious part of a person's mind, there's a little rebellion in everyone. May or no? There's a little.
Some more than others.
A little bit. In tzaddik ba'aretz ha'shayas tevelo yechad. When a person goes to mikon erev Yom HaKippurim, he has to dunk three times, and as I told you, in previous generations, they made a bracha. And by the way, who else went to mikvah? Not only men, women. Why are women any different than men? Women? No, they don't.
Satma does.
No, they don't.
Satma,
the women go to Mayor Yom Kippur, the young girls, unmarried girls go to mikvah.
Unmarried girls, no, but married women.
All married women, they all go to mikvah?
Yes.
Yeah, Erev Yom Kippur?
Erev Yom Kippur. It's a conga line.
So what?
Yeah, it's a long line.
You forget.
Hard to believe. I'm not Mikabo. I cannot imagine that they, but there's no doubt about it. This was a custom back in the day. Men and women, every single one, married, not married, went to mikveh, Erev Yom Kippur, and they made a bracha. Because it's a chelik of doing teshuvah. It's a chelik of today, there's no bracha today. No one today makes a bracha. Today is unacceptable. I don't think anyone makes a bracha. Even there are no minhagim anymore like that to make a bracha. Somehow in America we fell off the cliff, and we don't make a bracha. And women, no way. Even women bechlal going to mikvah today. Many mikvahs are very, very strict. They're very strict. That if a woman, you know, you have to prove you're married. They don't want a single woman today going to mikvah, because a woman who's single.
In America, the lawyers, they can't ask you if you're married.
They can't ask you if
you're married.
Who says they follow the law? The Haredi.
I already know. They can't tell you.
All right, fine, whatever it is. I don't know. I don't know. But it was a sticking point. This is anyone that runs a professional mikvah for nashim, this is always a policy issue. This is also probably one of the main things on there.
What?
Asher Kedushah. I don't know. I have to ask the Nashim.
What do they make?
Alatzila. When do they make the bracha? They make the bracha when they're in the mikvah. When they're in the mikvah, the water covers their body. Mm-hmm. The water covers their body when they're in the mikvah. So fine. So this is, how does a woman
come up? They cover their head.
So that they have. I mean, I don't know all that, but it's.
Would they need a yarmulke?
No.
Oh, I'm saying a man. So talking for a man, you see, saying very good. A woman anyway doesn't.
A woman anyway
makes the bracha without covering her head. A woman does not wear a head covering when she makes a bracha. I mean, okay, women, they go in public, they cover their hair. But a woman can make a bracha with her hair uncovered. But what about a man? You're saying very good. A man who goes to mikvah, and it was saying in shanim kadmalios when a man made a bracha a ger tzedek makes a bracha when he comes out of mikvah. So he makes the bracha when he's still in the mikvah. Now when he comes out and he's not, and he's there's a, so I don't know what they do. I'm assuming he puts on a yarmulke. He puts his head up. He covers. They put something on his head. You can't put your hand on your head. Putting your hand on your head is not going to work. That's part of your body. That's the halacha shulchan aruch. Putting your hand on your head is not going to make a difference. You have to put something external, a garment. So I'm imagining they put the bezin gives him a head covering for him to make a bracha. All right, but the point over here is there are three different madrigos that he's being mispallel, and this also is a very interesting concept. Here's where this is a very powerful idea in this psukim, that a person can be mispallel to Hashem to help. Hashem should help him with his free will. You'll ask a question. This is a matter of free will. When you daven to Hashem, you're davening to Hashem for success, for to get rich, refuah. But here, this is your decision. This is your decision. You want to be a tzaddik, or do you want to be a rasha? This is in your hands. I call bidei shemayim chutz miyira shemayim. Not doing an avera, whether it's a shkaga, whether it's a maze, a pesha, avain. This is in your hands. It's your decision. This is not the decision of Hashem, and yet David is being misspelled for help. That does not go against the principle of free will. Free will, so the answer is no, that's not true. There is a basic principle, this is not an esoteric concept. There's a basic principle that when a person davens for siyata deshmaya and being able to overcome the yetzer hara and not do an avera, that itself is an expression of free will. I don't want to do an avera. A person has a yetzer hara, and the yetzer hara sometimes is out of control. The least he can do, the very least he can do in order to succeed in overcoming the yetzer hara is when he's okay. When right now he calmed down, he took a cold shower, and right now he's at peace, and he can right now see the situation. He can be mispalel to Hashem. That act of prayer to Hashem, help me, help me. It's inevitable. I will be presented with a nisoyon. I will be presented with a situation that I'm not going to be able to, that I feel I'm not going to be able to control myself, and I'm going to do an avera. The very least a person can do is that when you're in control of yourself and the nisoyon is not in front of you, pray to Hashem that when, if chas v'shalom, you come to a nisoyon, you should then infuse me with fortitude, with will to overcome the yetzer hara. That is free will. The prayer to overcome the yetzer hara is the ultimate expression of it, because everyone, no one's gonna, this is the contradiction. You can't deny the fact that people are put in situations that are overwhelming, and they will fail. People in this world are set up to fail. Okay? It is going to happen that a person will be in a situation. So what do you do about it? The very least you can do about it is pray to Hashem, and that's exactly what David HaMelech is doing here in this pasuk. Let's see what it says over in Rashi pasuk. Now I don't think we did. Now there's an incredible Rashi over here that is utterly shocking, and you know, I don't want to say the word and say get into trouble over here, but you would say it's racist. this is probably the ultimate racist Rashi. You want to take all the Rashis in Tanakh, all the Mamar Chazal in Tanakh.
We're not woke.
You want to take all that and you want to say the spitz of racism. Here we go, Rabbi Isai. You came to the right place. You came to the non-politically correct. The institute of the not politically correct. Here we go. Don't say I didn't warn you. Okay, first let's go back to Pasuk Yud Beis. I don't think we did Pasuk Yud Beis, the Rashi's yesterday. Let's go back to Pasuk, the top of the page. Page 176. Bishamram Ekev Rav. Okay, let's review. We did this yesterday. Let's go to Yud Gimel. Shigiyos Miyavin. Ani Nishayti Bohem. David says, I have guarded myself from sitting. But you know, Avol Iev Shalizor Shalo Eshke Bohem. It's a reality. It's a reality of life. Ein Tzadik Bo'aretz. Everyone makes mistakes, even Meir.
Once in a while.
You're really getting it from me, huh?
Yes,
everyone makes the mistakes. And you Hashem, nakeni ministeros shenisteru mimeni v'lo yodati b'chet'i b'shkogo. Say me now. This is very hard, Rashi. Say me. What does it mean, ministeros? What's hidden? What are you talking about here? Rashi says,
hidden from oneself.
Hidden from me. V'lo yodati b'chet'i, I don't even know b'chet'i my sin b'shkaga.
He doesn't realize that he sins.
Is that what it means?
No.
Yeah,
I think what it means is you don't know that you will sin.
I can read in the translation.
Yeah.
I was careful with them, but it is impossible to be so careful that one does not err in them, and you cleanse me of hidden sins which were hidden from me, of which I was unaware when I sinned inadvertently.
Say that again? I lost you on that.
I know it's repetitive, but that's what Rashi is doing here.
No, but it's very significant when you said unaware when I sinned. Because the din of a shoyget is used at the end, you knew.
At
the time he did it, he didn't realize.
What I think it means is, maybe I'm wrong, but is, I'll give you a mash. Let's say a person, you can walk down two streets. I can walk down street A and I can walk down street B. Walk down street B, there is absolutely no nisyonos. There is no images to look at. There are no buses. There's no images. There's no one that's there that's going to come over to me and tell me gossip, lashon hara. There's no peddlers that are going to try to do business with me. I need to go to shul. There are two ways to go. You can walk down this street, you can go down that street. If I go down this street, it is almost impossible for me to come in contact with any situation, lowly day in the site. If I go down the other street, you know, it'll take me a lot less time, a lot less time. But on that other street, there are gossip mongers that sit on the street corners and like to say dirty jokes. And there are maybe some images that are not appropriate. And then maybe you use your imagination. But you know something? I've gone down that street 1,000 times. And nothing ever happened to me. I never had an issue. No one ever, I never was in the Kabbalah Lashon Hara. I never had any problem. So it'll save me a half an hour if I go down this way. So why not? Why not? I'm bulletproof. And I have proof in the pudding. I can prove it to you because I've done this 1,000 times. I have no choice. And I never had a halachic issue going down. So why not? I'll save myself a half an hour. And you go. But you know something? Today is not a good day for you. Today you're super duper tired. You're in a bad mood. You had a fight with someone in shul. You had an issue. And you're not in a good mood. You lost a lot of money. And then you go down that street, and all of a sudden you're presented with that nisoyon that you thought I'm bulletproof, but today you're not bulletproof, because today you've been affected. So David over Hashem, you know, I live my life. You can't live in a bubble. You can't go. You know, talk about a COVID. Well, you're not going to go out into the street. You do what you can do. So you're nervous. You put on a mask. You're nervous, you go protect yourself. Whatever you need to do, you do. I come at a certain point in time, you take all the medications, you take the vaccines, you put on the mask, and that's it. I did what they tell me to do, and you go. Oh, but there's always going to be a chance. Listen, I'm okay. The whole world does it, and they're okay, I'll be okay. But you know something? You're not going to be okay. Because there's another condition that you're not aware of. Or today you're in a weaker matzah. So therefore, that's what he's saying. Hashem, save me from situations that I think I'm bulletproof, but really I'm not. Really, when I enter into this matzah, I will make a mistake. B'shoyge, not b'mezid. I think that's right. I don't think it means that Hashem, forgive me for the sins that I've done that I'm not even aware of. Like you bring a carbon. You bring a carbon ashem toloi. What's the carbon ashem toloi? I'm not sure. I went to a restaurant and they served me fat. The question was, now when I leave the restaurant, there are rumors that the person who traded the meat didn't know what he's doing. So it could be I ate kosher fat called shuman. It could be I ate chalef, forbidden fats, which there's this penalty of kares. So what do you do? You bring a carbon ashram toloi. Maybe I sin, maybe I didn't sin, I don't know. So in the meantime, I want protection. So that's, I think, what Rachel, you say in the beginning, is that I've done an aveira. Maybe I did, maybe I didn't. You bring every yom tov, you bring a carbon chatos. What's carbon chatos? Tumas mikdosh v'kadoshav. What does that mean? It may have been, since the last time we brought this carbon, since last Rosh Chodesh, maybe there was a kohen who came into the Beis HaMikdash. He thought he was Tahar, but little did he know that on his way to the Beis HaMikdash, he went on the bus, and the bus had happened, took a detour, whatever, happened to go over a grave, and he's Tamei Tomas Meis, and the Kohen has no clue that he was Tamei, and he comes into the Beis HaMikdash, and he does Avoida, and he's Metamei, all the Kachim, all the people, all the Kachim. And it's no clue, because how is he supposed to know that when he walked on the street, that on this street, deep down, there's a grave? How is he supposed to know? So that's what he's saying over here. Hashem forgives. So you bring every Rosh Chodesh and every one of the Shalosh Rogam, every one of the Yom Tov, you bring a special on Yom HaKippurim when you sprinkle Lefnai V'Lefnim. What is the Lefnai V'Lefnim for? When you sprinkle the Dam HaChatos, the Sar, it's to atone for the Kodoshim and the Avoda that was done inadvertently in a state of Tumah, and no one even knows. No one even knows. So that's what he's saying over here. Hashem, save me from the Shigiyos. He says, save me, Shigiyos Miyavim. Ani Nisharti Bohem.
This is from the Nistarot.
That's
that you don't know that you did it.
Right, that's Nistarois. But what is Shkaga? So I don't know. Is that what it means? Maybe that's what it means. Or maybe right. No. Maybe what it means is, save me. When I'm going to do the Aveira, I'm going to know it. I'm going to walk down this street, and there's going to be a guy on the street corner. He's going to tell me a dirty joke, and I'm going to laugh. I am now about to go down that street. And I know there are people like that out here that hang out over here. But I say to myself, I'm above it. It's not. I'm not going to be nichshol. In listening to this type of stuff or engaging, because I know myself. I know I've been through this 1,000 times. But the truth is, today is not your lucky day. Today, your mind, the situation for you today is different. And if when you go down the street today, you're going to be nichshol. So David is saying, I think I'm bulletproof, but I'm not. So Hashem, do me a favor. When these type of situations arise, There should be gridlock. So on that day, I won't go down the street. I'll go and I'll take a detour, go down a different street where I will not be presented with this nisayon. Because a person fools himself thinking he'll be able to enter into a situation and nothing will happen to him. This one will mispal every single day. V'lo lidei nisayon, v'lo lidei vizayon, which is interpreted to mean, Hashem, please do not put me in a difficult situation, because it's 99.999% chance I will fail. If you present me with a difficult situation, a test, I'm going to fail. And then when I fail, I will come lidei bizayon. So I don't know what Rashi means. It means one of the two things. Either it means it's already after the fact. The sin was committed. It's after the fact. And David is saying, Hashem, listen, I did it. And I don't even know what I did. It could be that I did a terrible avera today. I don't even realize. So forgive me. Or what it means is it's preventive medicine. Prevent me. I don't know what's going on in my own mind. I don't know where I'm really holding. I'm willing to take risks that are not in my best interest. Hashem, prevent me from taking those risks, because it's nistar from me the danger that lurks out there that I'm not prepared for. Okay, let's go further.
We can see a perfect example about Shabbat. If somebody says, Yom Yavin, let's say, I don't know that I'm not allowed to do that on Shabbat. That's, I don't, chosen of that. Shgiot miyavin, ministerot matkeni. If I go to the bathroom, and by mistake I close the light, and I forgot. This is.
That's a shkaga.
That's shkaga. The other one, I don't know that.
Right. Right. That's why I said that's the first. That's what I said before. Right. 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 But one is you don't even know. Okay. Okay. Two different ideas. Okay. Pasuk Yudalev. Oh, okay. That's used in different contexts.
No, but so what?
It means Averos. Hanisteros means Averos. It means all the secrets of the world. All right, fine. Whatever. Pasuk Yudal, I accept. Pasuk Yudal, Gam Mizeidim min Azadonis. Oz then a son, then I'll be perfect. Ehyeh Tamim, I will be complete. When I call the Shrach, when you forgive me, and when you prevent me from sinning, then I will be complete. Now comes the most amazing comment of the 21st century. Amru Chachamim, Lema David Damu. What is David similar to? Lekusi. Do I need to translate that word? Lekusi. Okay, Hamachazer ala Psachim, who comes around and asks, and he asks for handouts. So what is it? The first thing he asks for is something very insignificant. I just want to be a community, what's the word? What did Obama do before he became president?
Social worker. No.
A community organizer.
A community organizer. What did Obama do before he became president?
A community organizer.
Correct. I just want to be a community organizer. Allah machaz al psachim, and he makes his rounds. Vehein ma'arimim, vehein ma'arimim b'davar yoyisem mikola. But ultimately, from it's chutz, basically chutzpah. This is the concept of chutzpah. You start out with a small little request. Give me a little bit, and before you turn around, I'm the master and you're the slave. Okay, the kusim were avodim. Eved avodim. It's a pasuk. Don't be embarrassed. It's a pasuk. Orur kinan. Eved avodim. What is the number? Now everyone's like, Eved avodim tia lo'achiv. Kinan was cursed. He was cursed because Orur Chom, because Chom castrated his father. Chom did the worst avera in the world. A father? That's what you do to your father? Your father wanted to have more children. Chom did an avera that is beyond belief. And therefore, Chom was cursed. Chom wanted to prevent Noah from having a fourth child. Noah had three children, Shem, Chom, Yefes. Shem, Chom, and Yefes were part of the old world. The old world, what was the old world? The world of corruption. Ki hishchis kol basar darkoi al haaretz. A world of churban. Noah came now into a world, a new pure world, and wanted to bring into this world a new child that was pure. Not a leftover from the previous world of corruption. Could you imagine what would have been if Noah would have had a fourth child? That fourth child would have been pure, would never have known from the old world of corruption. We all come today, the whole world today comes from one of three people. There are only three people left. Shem, Chom, and Yefes. You want to tell me Og? Did Og have children? It doesn't say anyone in Chazal Og had children. Maybe, who knows? But the world today comes from three people. Shem, Chom, and Yefes. Shem, Chom, Yefes lived. They were affected by a world of corruption. They lived in a world where it says about that world, Ki hishchis kol basar darkoi al aretz. They brought that with them into the new world. Noah wanted to bring into this world a new child that would have been free. Never saw a world of ki hishchis kol basar darkoi al aretz. Could you imagine the purity of that person coming into a world never saw what it means ki hishchis kol basar darkoi al aretz? But no, Chom decided that corruption is the name of the game, the swamp. Corruption is the way to go. This is life. This is bread and butter. This, and you cannot bring into this world purity. And he went out of his way to prevent his father from having this child of purity. Noach, upon realizing the churban that has just happened, the world, the future has been destroyed, he cursed him. And he said, your fourth child will be a slave to this world. And this is the human condition. This is the mitzias. This is the reality. Chom cursed. No, it was cursed. You destroyed my fourth child. Your fourth child, Oror Kinan, Eved Avadim Tia La'achif. Now, what is the curse? To find the essence of the curse of this person, the curse, it's not just a curse that he's a slave, it's a curse in midos. It's a certain despicable defect. The curse is a defect in humanity. And the defect in humanity is chutzpah. And whenever a chas v'shom, a Jew, engages in chutzpah, he's playing with fire. Because he's putting himself in the shoes of the cursed person, of Kenan. And what is the chutzpah? So Rashi explains to you what chutzpah is. Chutzpah is, you start off, just give me a little bit. Give me a little bit. And then a little more, a little more, a little more. Until now, you're in charge. Someone told me yesterday that they got into medical school. Got into a very prestigious program. They only took 9 or 8 people. 8 people into this program. Very prestigious program. It was very hard to get into. And the truth was, it wasn't really based on merit. That's as clear as day. And then they come to orientation, and orientation, I think there were a total of 9 people that got into the program. All 8 of the 9 people, there was 8 people, and there was this person who was a firm person. The 8 people are all African Americans, all blacks, pure black. And this firm person, and so maybe you're dealing with a college that's all, you know, everyone is. So they had orientation, and in part of the orientation, they met with the students that were the year before, and the year before, and the year before. And the vast majority of all of the other students, the previous years, are all white. So there was a conscious decision made this year that because woke isn't starting, we only are accepting people, they're the balabala. This is a very prestigious program. And this program, these people, you know, there are only a certain number of slots. These people are going to be the people that are going to be operating and are going to be making major decisions for 20 years from now on everyone's health care. Are they qualified? Absolutely not. Why are they there? Because of this Rashi. Chutzpah. The reason why they're there is chutzpah. Chutzpah. Okay, that's why they're nothing. The right word for why they're there is chutzpah. So how did it happen? First happened, you know, equality, right? And the more we are saying that David has this chutzpah in a good way, in a kosher way. Lomo David David Lukusi, Hamechazer Ala Psachim, Vehei Ma'arimim B'Davar Yoyser Mikol Adam. The arrogance of a kusi is more than anyone else. You don't go driving, you go drive through a neighborhood where there are blacks. They literally crossed the street without looking. They could not care less. Ordinarily, you know, when I walk across the street, I'm a little scared someone's going to run me over. You go to certain neighborhoods.
Right here.
It's your problem.
Watch the high school kids.
It's your problem. They do not. I rule the world. You, there's no rules, there's no lights, there's no nothing.
Step right in front of your car and make sure you can stop. Right. They want to have control.
Unbelievable. The chutzpah, mahus, is chutzpah. Incredible chutzpah. Look, again, how many allocated, Biden allocated, let me write, it's in the news, how many billions of dollars were put on the moon? What? A woman of color. Why is that necessary to write that in the news? What have happened to merit? It's unbelievable. Where does it come from? Chutzpah.
Merit is privilege.
Chutzpah. Until this whole thing, I used to deal with Goyim a lot. I used to do different work. I tell you, if you ask me in the middle of the night, is this person black, white? You know, I don't remember. I just know them as a person. I don't even pay attention. If he's a nice person, I like him. I don't give a call. If I don't like him, he can be with Pegasus and have a big hat, a big Rosh Shiva. You're a nasty person. I don't want to know from you. Now, everything has. You destroy your mind. It's unbelievable. Whatever happened to the merit? Virtues. So here in Lukusi Hamechazer Ala Psachim, Vehei Ma'arimim B'Davar Yoyser Mikol Adam, Tenu Li Mayim L'Shtois. So first he says, for free, give me a hand, that's a Mayim. Davar Shem Mechasarim Kis. Misha Shasoy. Once he gave him a cup of water, oh! Yeshkan Botsol Katan, give me a little onion. Onion only costs $1. Give it to me. Mishinostalo Oiler Yesh Botsabla Melach. Can you have an onion without some salt? Where's the salt? Next level. Mishnostalo Oiler Tnuli Madlechen. You know, I can't have an onion with salt. Give me some bread to accompany the onion. Shalom Yazikeni Habotsol. And then you go from one thing to the next, and before you turn around, the benefit on the bottom is even more. And is the kusi is the melech yimloich, and the master is the slave. So David over here, the more saying David used this nida in a positive way. David said to Hashem, you know, I sinned. I did a pretty bad avera. David Basheva, it's a stain on my life. And we'll read the next moment. David asked a little more. And David ultimately, know what it says in Chazal, we read the man. David said to Hashem at the very end, you know, Hashem, do me a Torah. you forgave me. Why don't you take it out of the record? It should not be written in Sefer Shmuel or anywhere in any work, rabbinic literature. There should be absolutely no record of whatever happened. And that's a long way from going from the math, from going of basically adultery, and going all the way where no one should be swept under the rug, that no one knows about. That's exactly what God would do. Now, you don't just go to Hashem and say to Hashem, you know, I sinned, do me a favor. It never happened. It doesn't go like that. It takes a lot of steps. Forgive me for this, for that, until ultimately you can have the chutzpah to ask that it should be totally erased. And the end was Hashem said, no. That far we're not going to go. I will forgive you, but the bezyonos, that you're going to carry with you forever. That's pretty serious stuff. Very serious stuff. Kach Omar David.
Yesterday you spoke about Ekev Rav, and here it says Pesha Rav.
Oh, yes.
They're different. I'll tell you a good joke. I'll tell you a really good joke at the end about that.
Can
look.
A lot of Ravs here.
The three Ravs. I'll tell you about that. It's a very big, good rabbinic joke. I'll tell you in a moment. Kach Omar David. Kitchila Lashkogas. First, David says to Hashem, please forgive me for my shkoga. Here's the order. What's the order? Why is shkoga, then is nizedim, then is pesha, al hashkogas, v'achakach al hazedoynos, v'achakach al hamirodim. There are three levels. K'vshom elu hamirodim, shemitzchavein lachachis. Three levels. Rashi over here learns in this context. I don't know if this is always the way we learn these words, but in this context, first are inadvertent sins. Then the second level is called Zaydin, sins that are done b'mezid. I know it's wrong, but Hashem, listen, no, I got to do it. I'm sorry, I'm hungry. I just cannot overcome the aroma, this delicious aroma. I have to eat this food. And then there's when a person, I'm not hungry even. I'm just doing it l'haches, in spite. So David says to Hashem first, do me a favor, forgive me. Okay. Once David gets his foot in the door, Hashem, you know, I did an Avera b'meiz, maybe, you know, you forgive me for that also. And then forgive me for the Averas that I've done in spite. David, even David is saying that deep down in his subconscious, every person has it in him, a shtickle mida. That's in the Haggadah. It's everyone, the most famous word of the Haggadah. They are Kneged Arba Bottom Dibur Torah. Echot Chacham. Echot Rosha. Echad tam, the echad she'ena yodeh lishol. Why do you have to say echad? It's echad chacham. The sheni is the rasha. Shalishi is the tam. Urevi she'ena yodeh lishol. Why does it say echad? Either don't say it all together, or just say echad sheni shlishi urevi. This is not grammatically correct. If you would submit this as a report to your fourth grade teacher, he would give you an F. So why does the Baal Haggadah get away with saying Echad? So this is the most famous one. One of the most famous ones is because it's the same person. It's the same Echad. Every single child and every single adult has in him an element, a dimension of a Chacham, a dimension of a Rasha, a dimension of a Tam, and a dimension of She'en Yedel Lishol. Every single person, the complexity of the human condition is enormous, and there are many different facets in the person. Every person has in him all four. So here he says, so Abraham Rabbi Shimon, so God over here saying by himself one at a time, Melech Moav Pasha. The word just proved the word Pasha means merida, lahachis. It's not just that I want. Is the war in Ukraine, is it a Pesha or is it a Zavan? Is it a lahach? I'm laugh. People are dying. I'm to laugh now. Is it a lahaches? Or is it, this is what I want. I don't care. I want Ukraine to my empire. Or is there something that's lahaches? There's a lahaches. It's a very important thing to know. When you study war, when you go to West Point, and you learn about war, you have to know your enemy. Why is this enemy engaging in war? Is it he's a shoygek? He doesn't realize what he's doing. He doesn't realize the chomer hadavar, or is it He knows everything, but he doesn't care. Or is the enemy an enemy that's coming to fight? It's not a matter of money. It's not a matter of need. It's a matter of lahachas. And that's a dangerous enemy. The strategy of dealing with an enemy that's coming to fight purely lahachas, that's a very, very dangerous enemy. An enemy wants, he wants, so you know what, you can give him some money.
More like Iran.
Iran is lahachas. Religious, ideology, the religious people, they're the worst. The religious fanatics, they're the worst. The ones that are not religious, you can bribe with money. You give them a couple bucks. You give them some money. They'll be very happy. There's certain people that go to the United States. They don't really have no. They just want money. They're just acting out like a child. You give him some food. Put him to sleep. Give him some. Sing him a lullaby. He's very happy. There's no difference between adults and children. All of these sides of life you learn in kindergarten. Okay, kindergarten. What goes on in kindergarten? Every geopolitical, you want to get a PhD in geopolitics? Just spend a day in kindergarten, and you get a postdoctorate in geopolitics.
Gilsa the Ankuta.
And basically, it's life is a kindergarten. Share your toys, clean up after yourself, take a nap, and go home. That's what life is all about. Everything you need to know about life, geopolitics, is in kindergarten. Okay, now as a supplement to this Rashi, let's look at the bottom of page 177, where he really spells it out in more detail, which is really, really, it's amazing. It's an enormous amount of human psychology here, and an enormous thing to learn about. Watch out, how to protect yourself from people that behave in such an ugly way, of chutzpah, incredible chutzpah. You give me down the bottom page 177. Dorash Rabbi Dostoy. Dorash Rabbi Dostoy Dimin Biri. Again, 177, the bottom of the page. Rabbi Dostoy Dimin Biri. Lama Dav Dav. What is Dav Dav? L'soicher Kus. Now notice over here, this Rashi was very Makatsa, and this Maim Chazal is the Momarach. Not just a Kusi. A Soicher Kusi. A businessman. A Soicher Kusi. Omar David, which is a little more flavor, is a merchant. A merchant is a person that makes their rounds. They travel from place to place. Omar David, with Nekadosh Baruch Hu, Ribbono Shel Olam, Shigiyos Miyavim. Omar Luhu, Shaviki, in other words, David said, listen, Hashem, I sin. David over here, the Chazal is very clear, he's talking about David Ubas Sheva. I took a woman that was semi-married. Miyuchid Uriachiti. You know, I didn't realize what I was doing. It was a shaygeg. Shaviki. So Hashem says, so Hashem responds, Shaviki. I forgive you. I forgive you. David then says, Umi nistaros nakeni. He's going to explain over here. So Hashem says, Shaviki loch. Gami zedim chasoy chavdecha. Shaviki loch. So these are all different dimensions. Okay, these are all different dimensions of David's sin. I don't know. This is obviously much deeper than I know. But obviously, in this chait of David Ubasheva, there was a cover-up. Okay? All people go down one way. Cover-up. Only go down, no one, do a study. Once either, I don't know, I read an article or heard a shir. Do a study in American politics. There is no politician who ever lost their job because of a chait. Every politician who ended up being disgraced was because of the cover-up. The cover-up. The denial. When you say chotasi, it goes in America especially, a person gets caught. If he immediately says chotasi, this country has a tremendous bracha. The people of America have a tremendous bracha. They're very, very forgiving. Extremely forgiving to an extreme. Because everyone in this country is a chotasi. you want to say, everyone just looks, sees themselves, everyone has the mirror of themselves.
These days, the apologies are not apologies.
So you need to do therapy.
I'm sorry if you were offended. I'm sorry if I got caught. Yeah.
Got caught. That's why I got caught. But if a person says chatasi, and then you say, I'm going for therapy, it's gold. I was amazed with Rush Limbaugh. Rush Limbaugh was once caught, like what everyone other people do is pain medication. He, Rush Limbaugh, he had a lot of yisurim in life, and so he got addicted to the pain medication, and it became a drug for him. So he told his cleaning lady, here's some money, get me, go to your contacts, and bring me some of this pain medication with no prescription. So he got caught. Oh, I remember this. Oh, he has enemies. People would need it. He has 10 million people want to rip him to shreds. It was a field day for them. That he got caught doing something that everyone else, all the other people do every single day. So what did he do? He was brilliant. He basically says, Chotasi, I'm going for therapy. He went, took off a couple of weeks. He came back. Oh, I learned in therapy. Oh, Chotasi, and they transformed me, rehabilitated me. No one ever heard about his chait ever again. Happily ever after. If he would have denied it, Stark in the Torah, witnesses, evidence, Azoy, they would have gone on forever and ever. Unbelievable. No, it's unbelievable. It's obviously very, very, very embarrassing. I'm not saying you get away with murder. Obviously, there's a limit to what you can get away with by saying chotasi. There's a limit to how far you can go, obviously.
Well.
I don't think it was murder, obviously. Okay, but it's an amazing thing. This country, this is unprecedented in world history. I really believe that to be true, that this country, what's one thing that is unprecedented in world history is this country's ability, the people in society, to forgive. To forgive, maybe it's for a bad reason, like I told you, because everyone's guilty in this country. But you have to be willing to say with the ultimate conviction.
That's not the reason. The reason is, whether you want to admit it or not, is we are a very religious nation. And we understand the idea of forgiveness from a religious perspective.
It's not only religious, it's the human condition. Okay? This is the difference between Shaul. I mean, what is the chilek between David and Shaul? Summarize the difference between David, one word. One word. Chotasi. Shaul did terrible averus. He disobeyed a direct order, I think three times. Two or three times. He didn't wait for Shmuel. Obviously, he didn't kill Agag. That was the Maccabi Patash. There was another thing. I think there were three things. He just disobeyed. And Shmuel said, you know, you're playing with fire here. And every time, what did Shaul do? Every time he was accused, Loi Chotasi. He did nothing wrong. He always had an excuse. Always had an excuse. David, when Nasan HaNavid said, David, you did a bir avera, atah ish. David's first word that came out of his mouth was, you're right, chotasi. That's why he's the melech. That's why the whole sequence of events of first presenting Shaul as the melech, and then Shaul denying he had any wrongdoing, and then being replaced by David, and then David does an avera. That's a very important element. Kol oimer David chata, eina ela toyeh. He had to sin. You know why he had to sin? Because his legitimacy as the Melech Yisrael is only because he was able to say Chotasi. Okay, it's not an answer to the question, obviously. He sinned. He suffers the Bizyonis. But yet, if David would not have sinned and would not have said Chotasi, then his legitimacy as Melech would be on very shaky grounds. Why are you better than Shaul? Shaul was the Melech. He was the Melech. The Malchus belongs to his lineage. Shevet Binyamin. Where do you come take the Malchus? The difference is, Shaul sinned. And Shaul denied that he sinned. David sinned. And right after David sinned, he was accused by Nosan HaNavi. And David said, you're right, Chotasi. Oh, when he said Chotasi, he legitimized his malchus. It's ironic, because the same thing which gave his malchus its validity, it was used by his enemies, li'olam voed, that is illegitimate.
The same is Yehuda. Yehuda did the same thing.
Sadka mimeni. That's where it comes from. The yichus, it comes, David's ability to say chatasi is rooted in his ancestor Yehuda that said tzadka mimeni. That's the shoresh. Okay, let's read further in this medrash. The medrash is that you forgive it. Alim shulvach. So all, there are different elements. Okay, there are different elements in David's chait, and each element in David's chait, David is there acknowledging I sinned. He's gone. But then, now this is the most amazing part of the medrash. Al yim shaluvi deloy lishtau bi rabbanon bein chait im basheva. They should not. Okay, no, there's not yet. They're not. Let them not go and talk about this. There are different levels. I don't know which level. Hashem's fine. Shaviki loch. Oz esam vinikes mi pesha rav shlo yikasev surchoyni. Oh, now we come to level number four. David asked for four things. First, he started off, I don't know all the dimensions, but David gets more and more chutzpah. The chutzpah goes on. First, forgive me. Then it should not be this. Then it should not be this. And each step, Hashem, okay, you got it. And then David comes to the ultimate request. Since you already forgave me, and the Rabbanon are going to know, they're going to say good things about me, you know what? Why don't we just go and erase it from the text? No one in the world will know what happened except for me and you.
Expunge.
And today we won't have a share today. What did they talk about? We'll have to learn something else today. No, it should not be written in Sefer Shmuel. It will be private, off the record. Only me and you, Hashem, we know what happened. Once you already forgave me, once already you did this, there are all the different madregos. All the different madregos, Hashem cleared him. Totally cleared. There was no points on his license. They took off the points on the license also. Everything was good. Let's erase it. Hashem says, Ad Khan, the buck stops here. The chutzpah, your request of chutzpah, Ad Khan, that we're not going to do. It's going to be written in the book, and the bezyonos is going to be forever. That we're not going to get rid of. He says, Amar Loi Hashem said, E.F. Shah, that is impossible. Umayud Shiratalti Misarai, and the Gemara is giving an example which is very important, very, very deep, this example. Sarai, her name was Sarai the Yud, my princess. Hashem said, your name is no longer Sarai, your name is Sarah. The Yud complained. Hashem, what's going to be with me? You're just going to go and you're going to erase me from the text? My name, what's going to be the Yud? Yud Shiratalti Misarai Oymed Vitzoveach Kama Shonim Ad Shabo Yoshua Vyoisafti Loi until Hoshea. Yehoshua, Shenemar, Vayikra Moshe leHoshea binun Yehoshua, Kol Parsha Kulo al Achas Kama v'Kama. We cannot erase this. This is something that cannot be erased. Now, obviously, there's a lot of depth in this, connecting the Yud. They don't talk about this. When they talk about the Parsha Sora, they talk about the Yud and the Hey. This is a critical piece of information to illuminate this whole concept of the Yud going from Sarai to Yehoshua and how it relates to David and Bathsheba. There's something very, very powerful here, which is not for now. Alachas kam v'kama. V'nikes v'nipesh ha'rov. What does this mean? The end of the pasuk. Omar lefanu v'ibonu shalol l'mechol yalois oven kuloi. Again, he's going under another dimension. I don't really know what this means. Omar kvar osit shloi bin choloima b'chmasoi ha-yach te-ish eish b'cheikoi u'v'godov lo si sorafna im yehalech ish al gehagechol v'ragov lo sichvena kein haba al eishes it re'ehu. Okay, this medrash makes it pretty, pretty severe.
That actions have consequences.
But look how the Gemara talks about his avera. Look what it says here. I mean, this something. Kol oimer David chata ein el toye. Oh, really? Really? He didn't sin. Look what it says in Chazal. Look how Chazal described with the most explicit terms you can possibly use. Haba al eishes re'ehu. It says here that David had relations, marital relations. This is an explicit, explicit term. It does not get worse than this. On an eshes ish. And the Chazal are accusing David of this. They're accusing him of this. Lo yinokeh kol hanogea bo. He will not be forgiven for the sin, for this sin. Omar lei kol hochi nitra rahu gavra. So David says to Hashem, you know, what am I supposed to do? I didn't have it. I'm doing teshuvah. So Hashem says, Omar loy, kabel olecha yisurin, kibel olav. David, for the rest of his life, suffered. All of, many commentators claim that all of David's problems in life, which included, mainly with his children, that all of the tzaras that he had with Avshalom and with Amnon and Tamar, and David was also very sick. David was deathly ill. He suffered from a sickness. He was deathly ill for it seems like most of his life, in fact. He was very, very sick. Yagati b'yanchas b'chalayla. He was drenched, his body, his bed, in sweat, and who knows what. He was very, very sick. It was all an atonement for the maise of David u'Bathsheba. Actions have consequences. Kol oimer echte v'oshuv. A person says, you know what, I'll sin, and you know, tomorrow I'll daven a good Shemona Esrei. It's like, you know, you pay the price of admission. You want to have a good piece of meat? You want to go to a good restaurant, you know, you want some good food, you got to pay good $200-$300 for a good meal. It's worth it. How much time did it take you to earn that money? It took me a few days, you know, hard work. It's worth it, worth it. So I'll daven a couple of good Shemona Esrei, it'll be worth it. Be worth it to do an Avera. I want to have the Hana of this Avera. No, it's worth it. I'll get up early and daven some, work very hard. It doesn't work like that. Mm. It doesn't work like that. There's no price. When it comes to the restaurant, you can work very hard and then you can go to the restaurant. When it comes to doing an Avera, there's no price you can pay to do the Avera. There's no such thing, I'll pay the price. The stain is there forever. It's not released. Very, very scary. So this over here is an incredible Maamar Chazal, is teaching us about chutzpah. And it puts the chutzpah specifically on a kushi.
Kusi.
It puts this chutzpah, this is a racist chazal. This is mamish, call it what it is. This chazal is the spitz of racism. It describes the kusim, as people of chutzpah. You give them a finger, they want a hand. And David took this nida of the kusim, this racist statement, and used it for good. He used it in a way of doing teshuvah. When it comes to doing teshuvah, this is acceptable. Chazal say everything that's aser, everything in this world that is forbidden has a permissible application. Chazer, you want to taste? What is chazer? You have a taiva. What does chazer taste like? Go to the store, go buy a fish called the shibuta. You know what that fish is? I have no idea. Maybe someone knows what that fish is. And cut open the brain of the fish and eat it. You will be toying the tam of chazer. You want to taste basa b'cholov? What is it like to go to McDonald's, to go to Burger King and have a cheeseburger? I want the tam of a cheeseburger. Very easy. You take an animal, the udder of an animal, the cow, udder. What's in the udder? Milk. It's infused with milk. Take it out of the kosher animal and kasher it. The special way to kasher it, you have to cut it in a certain way. You have to roast it to draw out the meat, and then it's permitted. And guess what? When you taste the udder, it's going to taste exactly the same thing as if you've taken a piece of meat and cheese and you put it on a grill. In every dimension, everything the Torah prohibited in one place, it's the same exactly as permitted in another place. The kusim are, Torah is racist. Torah is, you don't have to apologize for the Torah. The Torah is a racist document. The Torah says the kusim are cursed. for a reason. It's not because it's not racism, there's a reason. They cursed the world. They denied Noach from bringing into this world a person that was pure. What do you mean, they're the same?
No, they're not.
They are.
No, they are.
The Kusim were from
Ashur. It's debatable.
The Kusim were from Ashur that they resettled in,
Ashur, no, they didn't live in Ashur. The Melech of Ashur took the Kusim from their land and brought them to Eretz Yisrael. They brought them. They were taken. There were no Kusim living in Ashur. Melech of Ashur, we repopulated the whole world. He took a nation that lived over here and brought him here. There was no one living in Ashur. Right. All right, this is a debate. This is a very debatable topic. But over here, Chazal is saying there's a very ugly, non-kosher midah of chutzpah. And chutzpah has a place in Judaism in a permissible manner, and that is in a person's desire to do teshuvah. In desperation to do teshuvah, David utilized this ugly midah of chutzpah in a permissible fashion. He started out, Hashem, forgive me for this, and he moved his way up. He moved his way up, but yet, even with moving his way up, and it did succeed to a degree, ultimately, it didn't work. Ultimately, he did not get the ultimate prize. All right, we're going to stop here. We'll take a short break. We'll learn a little bit about Pesach, Haggadah.